I'm tired, I'm worn, my heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes, I've let my hope fail, my soul feels crushed by the weight of this world.
You are my hope.
Welcome to the Hope Show today. Thank you all for being here. I hope all of you had a good week and that all of you have remained healthy and safe. Today's message is about the joy of the Lord is our strength. We could all use and benefit from some true joy in our lives, couldn't we? Not just the joy and happiness that comes from your family or your job or anything like that. But the joy that, you know, just surpasses all situations in our life. I'm talking about the true joy that comes from the Lord. The kind of joy that no matter what kind of day you are having, this joy surpasses any situation going on in your life. I'm talking about the kind of pure joy that comes from your faith in God to see you through all the seasons of your life, all the hills and all the valleys. I'm talking about the kind of pure joy, the state of mind that says, I don't see a way, but I know God will make a way, so I'm not going to dwell on what I can't control. How many of you in the listening audience can say truthfully, I need more joy in the Lord? If you're a believer, then you already have joy in the Lord. But some of us need to be reminded sometimes, myself including, that we are not in control and that we need to lay our burdens down at the Lord's feet and leave them there for Him to work out. Don't pick your burdens back up because resolutions aren't happening quick enough to suit you. Everything is in God's perfect timing. We need to grow some patience and some faith, friends. We live in such a fast-paced world where we oftentimes expect instant gratification. And when we don't get it fast enough, then we try to set out on our own understanding to make things happen faster. But from my own experience, that seldom ends well. When we try to force something to happen in our own time and on our own understanding. God's ways are always better for us. We need to recognize that the joy of the Lord is our strength in all matters of life. Without God, we are nothing and we can do nothing. If we force an outcome before God has the opportunity to work it out for us, we will fail. How many times can you think of in your own lifetime where you became impatient waiting on the Lord, or you thought, I can do this on my own and get it done a lot faster? But when you forced the situation without God's blessing, you fell short of the goal, and perhaps you even made things even worse than they were before. Friends, I've done that, and I know that probably a lot of you out there have too. So let's go ahead and bow our head in an opening prayer before we finish. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here today. Thank you for being with each of us throughout this past week, and that your presence is with us here right now. Thank you for today's fellowship, the worship time, and the opportunity to be filled with your word. Dear Heavenly Father, open our minds as we have gathered here to receive your wisdom and your guidance. Open our hearts so that we can receive this wonderful gift of pure joy that you are about to renew in us through today's message. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel. May the words that come from my mouth be the words that you would have me to speak, and not of my own understanding. in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in today's opening prayer. Our verse of the day is found in Nehemiah 8, 9 and 10. This translation that I'm about to read to you is found in the Good News Translation. The Bible says, When the people heard what the law required, they were so moved that they began to cry. So Nehemiah, who was the governor of Ezra, the priest and the scholar of the law, and the Levites who were explaining the law, told all the people, This day is holy to your Lord, your God, so you are not to mourn or cry. Now go home and have a feast. Share your food and wine with those who do not have enough. Today is holy to our Lord, so don't be sad. The joy that the Lord gives you will make you strong. The joy of the Lord is a phrase that we often hear in the Bible, but what does it really mean? Well, in Nehemiah, we take a closer look at what this phrase means for us as believers today. Have you ever felt like your strength is running out? I have. Some days you wonder how you'll ever make it through the day, let alone the days ahead. When we feel sorrow, whether it is because we know we have sinned or because of a very difficult circumstance that has come into our life, it's common for us to wonder where our strength is going to come from. We feel emotionally, physically, and spiritually depleted. But when this happens, it's very, very important for us to remember this truth. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Friends, no matter how hard we might try, this kind of joy is not something that we can conjure up for ourselves. There is only one source from which it comes from. And that's the Lord. Thank goodness it is not our human joy, because human joy sways with the circumstances from our day. One minute we're feeling happy, and the next minute something has happened and it's knocked the wind from our sails, and we find ourselves unhappy. But the joy of the Lord, that is the joy He possesses, that He gives to us. It's not man-made. Friends, we have access to God's boundless joy, and it does not depend on how strong or spiritual we are. This joy comes from God alone and the relationship that we have with Him. When you read the verse of the day in Nehemiah 8, 9 through 10, you see what happens when the Israelites were attentive to the reading of God's Word. They were blessed by the reading of God's Word. They thirsted for more. They were reminded of the way that they should be living. Friends, how many of you, when you open God's Word and you read it, you feel encouraged and something new pops off the page at you? Perhaps you've read that same verse over and over and over, but on this one day, you read it again, and God reveals something to you that has never been revealed to you before. Or He reminds you of something you had forgot. God spoke to you through what you have just read. Friends, God's Word is alive. In the passage of today's verse, Nehemiah 8, 9, and 10, the Israelites found joy from this time of the reading of the Word, and they understood it on a deeper level. It's just like you and I, you know, when we take the time to read the Bible, be in His Word, invest time with Him, real time, not just 5 minutes here and there, But when we really delve into the Bible and we are doing this to learn more about Him, we understand Him at a much deeper level. And so the Israelites, at the time of the reading of the Word, they understood it on a deeper level and were obedient to it. They found joy in it. Many characters of the Bible found themselves walking in turmoil, but they still had peace and joy in their hearts, even during a non-peaceful situation. How could they do that? Because they found the joy of the Lord, and that was their strength. The only way this is found is to have a strong personal relationship with the Lord. The more that one lives in His presence and walks the road of obedience to His will, the greater that peace and joy is. Some of the turmoil that we face is caused by our own actions, but some of it is something that the enemy has put in our life. Sometimes we're faced with turmoil because we are too close to the Lord. Well, I guess I can't really say that, because you can never be too close to the Lord. But the closer and closer and closer and deeper your relationship gets with the Lord, the enemy's going to try to do anything in his power to come between you and the Lord. The enemy hates our relationship with God. He will do anything to try to rip us apart from God, to tear us out of a relationship with God. But no matter what our situation is, we always have a choice. Are we going to dig our heels in deeper and choose to pull closer to God? Or are we going to allow the enemy to win and tear us away from God? Are we going to let the enemy have that foothold in our lives? Friends, we need to refuse to let that happen. Refuse to let it happen. God's word is firm. He is the solid rock on which we stand upon. Everything else is shifting sand. Friends, there are families who are being torn apart by the enemy. There are friends and family who are dealing with disease and pain, loss of loved ones. There are those who are struggling financially, those who are having problems at work or in making career decisions. There are those in the church that are feeling discouraged. There are those who have marital problems or pregnancy issues. There are children that are feeling neglected or rejected by their parents, by their peers, by their teachers. There are parents that are overwhelmed by the family life. There are graduates from high school and college that have no idea where to go or what to do after graduation. Life pulls us in many directions. God never said it would be easy, but God said He would get you through it. If you relied on Him, if you stayed obedient to Him, if you had an intimate relationship with Him, God promises to always be there for us and with us and beside us. God has the answers. Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to invest the time into a solid relationship with the Lord? Do we believe? Do we have a solid faith and trust in the Lord? That He is by our side through any and all circumstances that we face now and those we will face in the future. Do we believe? Are we standing on the solid rock? Going back to verses 9 and 10 in Nehemiah 8. What is the joy of the Lord? When Ezra was reading the law to the people, it produced a great sorrow in each of them because they knew their lives and behavior were not in alignment with the law. But instead of rebuking or condemning them, they were instructed to celebrate because of the joy of the Lord. Now I know that must sound odd, and perhaps even backward. Why would the Lord still have joy over this bunch of sinners? The children of Israel were never known for their perfect behavior, but they were still God's people. He still loved them. It's no different in today's time. We are not perfect. We never will be. God knew this from the very beginning when He created us. But we are His children and He loves us. He never gives up on us. He never stops pursuing us. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells of three stories of things lost and then found. A sheep, a coin, and a son. In all three stories, they end with rejoicing when whatever was lost was later found. God's joy is in the reunion. God's joy is in the reunion of you and I, coming back to Him, accepting Him. And He wants us to have that same kind of joy in the reunion. This joy in the Lord gives us strength to reach out to God for all that He offers us. Love, provision, protection, salvation, wisdom, guidance, grace, mercy, forgiveness. The list goes on and on because God's benefit package is so incredible. No job, no coworker can ever offer you the benefit package that God offers you. It is out of this world. But you know, if anyone has the opportunity to spend eternity with God in heaven, and we all most certainly do, and enjoy all the benefits of the benefit package that God offers each one of us, and yet we still choose to refuse and reject Him, well, folks, I'm just going to be honest with you, that's just plain crazy. There are no words to express what a mistake that would be. Let me explain this in a different way to you. Let's say you have a son or a daughter. Oh, you are so proud of them. You love them with everything in your being. There is nothing you wouldn't do to keep them safe and give them a chance at the very best possible life that they could have. You've invested 18 years of your life to seeing that they are set for life. And yet when they turn 18, they rebel and they turn away from all you have done for them and should choose to do their own thing. And they end up choosing the exact opposite out of life for themselves than you had hoped and prayed for. Friends, you never stop loving your children. You never give up on them. You always hope they will return to a better life. You don't stop praying for them. And no matter how terrible the mistakes they might make or the mess that they make of their lives, you still desire for them to just come home. Just come home. And if and when they do, you are going to rejoice, as God does. In Zephaniah 3:17, the Bible tells us, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. In Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with the joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And in Isaiah 12:3, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. The strength that God provides us with is his grace. Ephesians 4:7, to each of us grace has been given. And while you're thinking on this first half of the Hope Show, I'm going to go ahead and take a short break, and I hope you enjoy the songs, and I hope that you'll stay tuned in to the second half of today's message.
can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness, he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. He can only know the power that he holds. His strength in us begins where ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again. His strength is perfect when
back, Hope Show listeners. I'm happy you're here today. If you're just tuning in, then I'm happy that you are, that you have. Today's message is "The Joy of the Lord is Our Strength." It's been a pretty powerful message thus far. I won't take the time to recap, but if you'd like to go back and listen again or share it with a friend, then after today's message, sometime later on in the day, the message will be uploaded to my podcast page on Shaziz Radio, so that you can listen to it, whatever you've missed, or if you just want to listen again, or as I said before, share it with a friend someone that you think might enjoy this message. Friends, I want to ask you something before we go on. Is the joy of the Lord your strength? This is a difficult question and may also be difficult to answer. The words are simple and familiar to a believer, yet the statement can get lost in day-to-day life. When life is going smoothly and uncomplicated, it's easier to answer this, but what about when life isn't easy? When the road isn't smooth? Instead, it's full of potholes. Are you still able to say, yes, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my joy. Failure and lack of faith can be the very thing that makes us confront this question head on. In the midst of the turmoil in your life, where are you going to turn for help? You know, it's like a treasure that you've put away and forgotten about. Perhaps you've left it on a shelf in one place for so long, it's collected dust, but it's still in plain sight, waiting for you to open it again. Friends, I'm talking about our Bibles. All the answers to your questions, all the help you will ever need, is found between the covers of your Bible. There is joy and strength to be found in its pages. It is God speaking to you. His word is alive. He's encouraging you and strengthening you, guiding you, comforting you, giving his forgiveness, love, grace, and mercy, and so much more. God is our all in all. All things we have come from God. God is good all the time. We don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to waste any sleep over the circumstances happening in our life. We don't have to fear where our next meal will come from, how we will pay our bills, or how we will pay for our food, or pay for the home that we live in. God has us in the palm of His hand. No amount of worry on our part will change a thing any faster. We are not in control. God has the final say. God says repeatedly in the Bible, "Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not be anxious. But humble yourselves before Him. Have faith and trust in Him that He is working out whatever's going on in your life. He's working it out right now. Wipe away your sorrow. Let go of your guilt, your unforgiveness, the pity, talking bad about yourself, speaking negativity over your life. The thoughts you have reveal your heart. Whatever you feed becomes your reality. If you feed negativity into your life, you will have negativity in your life. If you feed positivity into your life, your life will be positive. If you constantly fear for your health, you're giving the enemy a foothold into your life to make your own worst fears come true. If you think you can, with God's help, you will. If you trust and believe God can, He will. But if there is no trust or faith, if you don't believe that God can make something happen, you will also be right. It won't happen. So what are you going to feed into your life? If you keep in righteousness with God, if you live your life in obedience to Him, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that He died on the cross for you so that all of us could be reunited with God in heaven, if you believe the Word of God, truly, undoubtedly believe the Word of God, then you have nothing to fear. God is fighting our battles. And this is where joy and strength in the Lord is found. This is how you and I can experience joy that surpasses all understanding and stay strong under pressure. Because we believe in God's Word with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. We trust in Him and have faith in Him wholeheartedly, without doubt. We take God's Word literal, and we rest on knowing that God's got this for us. All you have to do is keep believing, keep trusting, keep loving God, and seek to strengthen your relationship with Him more with each passing day. Friends, thirst after God. Thirst after Him. He is the living water. Partake in it. Friends, you can sleep like a baby at night, never losing sleep over your circumstances, being truly joyful and at peace inside, in your spirit, every day of your life. Even when everything around you seems to be crashing down and your life seems to be full of chaos, because that you know that you know that you know that God already has it taken care of, that you just have to be patient to see the results. How many times have you worried and stressed out over something like finances, relationships, car troubles, over the path that a child has chosen to take in life? Did worrying make your problems go away? Or did it just make you feel sick inside? Did circumstances get resolved in time? Did you have anything to do with that resolution? Friends, I have spent too many years of my life worrying over every little thing, and I mean every little thing, before I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And hear me when I say this. It didn't do me any good. Nothing good came from it. It didn't solve things any faster. It didn't make me feel any better. But I can tell you what it did do. It probably took a few years off of my life, put a huge toll on my health, on my heart, on my brain. It made everything internally in me feel sick. It made me grouchy and hard to live with. It made me a miserable person. But for me, there came a time that I realized what I was doing to myself. I realized that God had been telling me through my husband for a great many years that I needed to calm down. Everything was going to turn out just fine. That I needed to trust in God and have faith. That my foolish behavior wasn't getting me anywhere. But no, I always had to try to do everything on my own. And that's probably why I wandered around in the wilderness for so many years, because I was too stubborn and too thick-skulled to listen to what God had to say. Friends, pride is a terrible thing and it will bring you down. But you know another thing that also robs you of your joy and your peace? Many of us are guilty of letting the enemy have a foothold over this in our life. I want to share something with you from Joyce Myers. I was listening to one of her videos the other day, and it hit me just like that. And God told me, find that article and share it. The article is called A Guilt Trip to Regret City. How much time do you spend thinking about the past? Past failures, past regrets, disappointments, mistakes. How often do you go down memory lane? How many times do you let the past seep into your day and it affects your thoughts and your decisions? This article is for you. I had not really planned on taking a trip this time of year, and yet I found myself packing rather hurriedly. This trip was going to be unpleasant, and I knew it in advance, that no real good would come of it. I'm talking about my annual guilt trip. I got tickets to fly there on Wish I Had Airlines. It was an extremely short flight. I got my baggage, which I could not check. I chose to carry it myself all the way. It was weighed down with 1,000 memories of what might have been. No one greeted me as I entered the terminal to the Regret City International Airport. And I say international because people from all over the world come to this dismal town. As I checked into the Last Resort Hotel, I noticed that they would be hosting the year's most important event, the annual pity party. I wasn't going to miss that great social occasion. Many of the town's leading citizens would be there. First, there would be the Dunn family. You know, the should've, would've, could've. Then came the I Had family. And you probably already know that the old Wish and his clan would be there, too. Of course, the Opportunities family would be present, along with Missed and Lost families. The biggest family would be the Yesterdays. There are far too many of them to count. But each one would have a very sad story to share. Then Shattered Dreams would regale us with stories, excuses, about how things had failed in his life. And each story would be loudly applauded by "Don't Blame Me," and "I Couldn't Help It." Well, to make a long story short, I went to this depressing party knowing there would be no real benefit in doing so. And as usual, I became very depressed. But as I thought about all the stories of failures brought back from the past, it occurred to me that all of this trip and subsequent pity parties could be canceled by me. I started to truly realize that I did not have to be there. I didn't have to be depressed. One thing kept going through my mind. I can't change yesterday, but I do have the power to make today a wonderful day. I can be filled with joy and peace, as well as encouragement. And knowing this, I left the City of Regret immediately, and I left no forwarding address. Am I sorry about the past? Yes. But there is no physical way to undo them. So if you are planning a trip to the City of Regret, or have already arrived there, cancel the reservation right now. Instead, take a trip to Starting Again. I like it so much better here, and have decided to take up permanent residence. My neighbors, the Forgive Themselves and the New Starts, are so very helpful. By the way, you don't have to carry heavy baggage because the load is lifted upon your arrival. God bless you in finding this town. If you can't find it, it is in your heart. Please look me up. I live on I Can Do It Street. friends, that article had a huge impact on me when I listened to Joyce Meyer's tell of it. It's time for a change for some of us. I know the holidays are particularly hard for some of us. But don't let Satan rob you of what God created you to have. True peace and joy and love that surpasses all humanly understanding. God wants the very best for each and every one of us. He loves us, and we are called His children. It's never too late to come home. He is waiting with open arms and forgiveness of whatever that has stood in our way of having the most incredible relationship with Him that we could ever experience. He is the groom and we are the bride. Friends, for those of you that are married, that have been married for years, remember the day you first got married and all those incredibly beautiful expectations you felt in the promise of the future when you said I do to the one you love? Do you remember thinking of the future and how you would share in the great joy that would be there for the both of you for all of your lives here on this earth? Do you remember that feeling of commitment that you had with the person that you married? That is the kind of relationship you should be longing for with our Heavenly Father. That is the goal. Don't let the enemy get a foothold into your mind, your heart, and your soul, and make you miss out on the most amazing relationship you'll ever experience. Eternity with our Father in Heaven. God didn't make us so that we would worry our lives away, to make ourselves sick, to take no part in true joy, happiness, and peace. He didn't create us to suffer. He didn't create us to do everything by ourselves. It's a few more weeks before Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. Right now, before that time, reevaluate your life. Make the decision to come home to God's waiting, loving, open arms. I promise you it will be the best day ever. This is the season to rejoice, but every day is a reason to rejoice. Joy in the Lord is our strength. Let's bow our heads in a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your joy that gets us through times of turmoil. Thank you for your strength that is always with us. Thank you for the peace you give us in the midst of trials in our life. And through today's message, I pray that more people will come to the realization of your power and love in their lives. I pray that each person listening today has received the message that God wanted you to hear. Our relationship with you, Father, is intimate and personal. A marriage. Your message to each of us is uniquely for our ears only. Thank you, Father, for my own personal peace, joy, and strength. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in that closing prayer. God be with each and every one of you this coming week and keep you safe and healthy. Until next Saturday, same time, same place. And don't forget, most importantly, don't forget to cancel any reservations for traveling to any of those places that do not bring you peace and joy, because you are worth far more than that. I love you.
My King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear are sail. By the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing.